Letter from Australia featuring Jose Carbo and the Queensland Symphony Orchestra, Dame Nellie Melba, La Stupenda, William Barton and Sean O'Boyle, Joanne Coyle with music by Moya Henderson and Judith Rodriguez, Barry Cornyham and Murray Copeland, Kev Carmody and Julu Guruwiwi, and our theme, Credibility.
I live in a strange land, I love the strange light. I eat of the strange fruit and fight the good fight. The sky, it catches fire, the earth is cracked and brown. The wind keeps singing in my ears, when will the rain come down? On this strange land, the shifting sand, silver moon coming soon. Dead heart, the sacred art, the red blood, the big blood. Understand if you can, this strange land.
As Gordon Brown and the Tony Blair legacy falls apart in the UK, as the Democrats turn away from the trusted Clinton team to take a chance on a new young man, as tremors run round the world's financial markets, and as people begin to question, after only 6 months in the job, whether Kevin Rudd has the X factor which defines leadership, our theme in this letter from Australia is credibility. And consider, yes, consider while fighting, that a black eye is watching you, and that love awaits you. So sings the up-and-coming tenor of Australian opera, Jose Carbo. These lines are, of course, from George Bizet's Carmen. Carbo is singing with the Queensland Symphony, a performance recorded in October last year.
Señor, señor, cara de soldado. Y le cobrero, cara sobra. Por qué sigue el sol le combate. Le sir que plaise jour de fête. Le sir que plaide y otro mat. Le spectateur, perdón la terre. Le spectateur, c'est un ver. J'espère à la fureur, car c'est la fête du courage, c'est la fête des gens de cœur. Allons, mon gars, allons, allons. Adore, adoronga, adore, 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 adore. Et songe bien, oui, songe au combattant, qu'un œil noir te regarde, et que l'amour t'attend, toréador, l'amour, l'amour t'attend. On fait silence, à que se passe-t-il? Il est qui s'élève, le taureau s'élance en vomissant hors du torrent. Il s'élance, il monte et s'arrête, à cheval roule entre la tapicato. Ah, bravo toro, il est la foule, le Viens, et frappe moi, c'est bon de rire, plein de tireurs et cours, le cirque plein de sang. c'est souvent franchi la grille. C'est ton tour maintenant. Allons, garde, allons, allons. Toréador, toréador. Et songe bien, oui, songe au combattant. Quel est noir te regarde. Et que l'amour t'attend, toréador. L'amour, l'amour t'attend, toréador, toréador.
I came to think of John Carger as a companion over the past 3 decades. I never met him in person. However, his ABC radio show, Singers of Renown, was a reassuring friend to me on countless Sunday afternoons. When John passed away at the end of May, it left a void on the radio waves as big as that of Alastair Cook's letter from America. John's quirky anecdotes often stopped me in my tracks. Frequently the pen was put down and the page was not turned. I've never been an opera expert or even a knowledgeable concert goer, but over the years John's enthusiasm was infectious. In tribute, and with hopefully some of John's quirkiness, our musical inspiration comes from the annals of Australian opera this month. It's also the month leading up to the famous Garma Festival at Yirrkala, so I'll give you a little taste of Garma. The next letter from Australia will feature a range of interviews and sounds from Garma. But now I imagine John Carger sitting back somewhere listening to Singers of Renown. As regular listeners know, I only play Australian music, so I cannot play the great Caruso. But thanks to the National Film and Sound Archive, I can play some songs from our greatest diva. And even though the recording is very scratchy and primitive, I think you can hear why Melba was very special. John, these are a tribute to you.
Thank you.
Cyclones hit the Australian north every year, but they rarely come south and hit Sydney or Canberra. This year, Cyclone Belinda tore through the state and federal parliaments. In Australia, Jack is supposed to be as good as his master. So when Belinda Jane Neal, federal member for Robertson, and her husband, state Labor power broker John Della Bosca, New South Wales Minister for Education, and their fellow diners were asked to move tables at Iguana Joe's nightclub by staff, all hell is alleged to have broken loose. It's alleged that the club and the staff were threatened by Miss Neal. It was bad enough when all this aired, but then came a series of incidents, including Miss Neal's behaviour at a soccer game, some very unfortunate remarks in Parliament, and an alleged conspiracy to cover up and intimidate the Iguana's club and staff. Ordinary Australians sided with the workers, of course, and it seems that the political careers of Neal and Della Bosca may well be over. I too abhor Miss Neal's behaviour, but I've always regarded John Della Bosca as a gentleman amongst rogues. If the Iguanas affair had not occurred, he may well have replaced Maurice Yemma as Premier of New South Wales by now. The big issue, though, is not Belinda Neal. It's the culture of bullying and king-making within the New South Wales right of the Labor Party. Belinda Neal is really a scapegoat for the media. The current New South Wales Treasurer, Michael Costa, and the former Australian Labor leader, Mark Latham, have both acted far more brutishly than Miss Neal. Furthermore, in any New South Wales Labor committee, one will witness the kind of behaviour that makes the Iguanas nightclub affair look like a picnic. When will the media look at the institutional and endemic culture of personal brutishness and bullying within the New South Wales Labor Party? Do they have the imagination or ability to move beyond a focus on just one individual? Sometimes I think not. Here is the magnificent William Barton on didgeridoo, or yidaki, playing an excerpt from Sean O'Boyle and his Concerto for Didgeridoo with the Queensland Symphony Orchestra, titled appropriately for our theme, Wind. In Northern Australia, no one underestimates the power and destructive force of wind, and in politics, no one does either.
Thank you.
Opera is an art form of the highest quality. It's one thing to write a great story or play, but to combine this with the highest levels of music composition, direction and production, musicianship, orchestration, voice and musicality in a live performance requires exceptional ability and teamwork. The quest for greatness in opera was what John Carger talked incessantly about for all those years in all those radio broadcasts. Running a multi-organizational, multi-dimensional sphere of operations with $300 billion of revenue and $300 billion of expenditure involving hundreds of thousands of employees and millions of consumers is also an art form. It takes a lifetime to become any good at government. Yet we expect political leaders to get it together in a four-year term. Rarely are the highest pinnacles of achievement reached. Most often, mediocrity is the result. The new ABC comedy in Australia, The Hollow Men, takes us into ministerial offices of the federal parliament. It gives us quite a good glimpse of surviving another political day, not achieving anything of substance. The Hollow Men may as well be about John Howard as Kevin Rudd. The Australian people threw Howard out of office because they started to see a pattern of gimmicks and subterfuges. They also started to see that he was missing the main issues of the day. Yet Kevin Rudd has been only 6 months in the job and already the blowtorch of judgment is upon him. My long-standing view was that while he may have had difficulty getting there, Kim Beazley would have been a better Prime Minister than Kevin Rudd. I have a good deal of admiration for Rudd, but he needed seasoning. He lacks experience. John Howard lasted a long 11 years as Prime Minister, simply because he'd been in the federal parliament for decades, seen the highs and lows, and mastered many of the tricks and illusions of office. So in my opinion, Rudd was always going to have a honeymoon, followed by a crash to earth, and that is what's happened. The question now is whether he can survive and thrive. Cartoonists have delighted in portraying Prime Minister Kevin Rudd as Tintin. In the Rudd-Tintin era, every quarter I will be producing the Tintin table of parliamentary performance as a table of credibility of our federal cabinet and opposition politicians. It's available on the Working Papers site. Over the last quarter, I ranked the government just ahead of the opposition in terms of its performance for the last 3 months. Both government and opposition have not been inspiring. Only Penny Wong for the government has shown a bit of grit, substance and vision. What both sides of politics need to show is a bit of guts, grit and practicality. In short, they need a touch of La Stupenda. Here in an aria from Verdi's Attila, La Stupenda sings an aria by Otabella, who leads a group of women prisoners proclaiming their invincible spirit. The women prisoners fought next to their men, unlike their conquerors. Attila himself becomes enthralled with Otabella and offers her any gift she desires. She asks for a sword and he gives her his own. She declares that with that sword she shall exact vengeance for all she has lost. Now that I think